You're listening to Nights on RNZ National, rnz.co.nz.
We're coming up to Anzac weekends, and there are a couple of plays. One person plays on at Wellington Circa Theatre, which are opening just before the weekend, both with, I guess, Anzac or at least war story related themes. And I have the two performers of those plays, and one of them is also directing one of them as well. Jan Bolwell, who is performing in Milord Goffredo, and she's directing I'll Tell You This For Nothing, which is performed by my other guest, Kate Jason-Smith. Kia ora, Kate.
Kia ora. Lovely to be here.
And kia ora, Jan.
Kia ora, Brian. Nice to be talking to you.
Jan, two jobs, directing
yes.
and presenting. You're going to be exhausted by the end of this, aren't you?
Well, fortunately, Kate and I did, I'll tell you this for nothing, Kate's play has had quite a life. She's been all over the place to the Edinburgh Fringe and Adelaide. So my direction actually happened quite a long time ago, and Kate has this play well and truly under her belt. So my work at the moment, it really isn't too onerous.
So that's a director kind of works on the play in rehearsal, and then after you got it sorted, you walk away?
Pretty much. I mean, with the odd little touch up here and there. But yes, I mean, you have to hand it over. You know, you work closely with an actor when you're devising and creating the work, but the performer doesn't want you hanging around forever. I mean, you know, it's their baby, and so they just need to get out there and get into it and start doing it, really.
Kate, would you agree with that assessment?
Oh, well, look, I must at this point say that in the 4 years that I've been doing this play, I've done 75 performances now. The last one was a command performance for the Governor-General, in fact, that Jan, every time I've got a special show or a season, has stepped in and just polished the show a bit more. So I've been very well polished by Jan for a long time, and I owe her an enormous amount. It's very interesting. The reason I asked Jan to direct the play in the first place was because I'd seen another play that she has written, a solo play about her grandfather in World War One, and I thought, oh, she's definitely the person to help me prepare this solo piece that I'd written about my mother in World War Two. And indeed, she was exactly the person to prepare it with me, because indeed, as you can tell, it's been quite successful. And then we have had the opportunity to do this double billet Circa, where I'm doing my play about my mother, who won the Legion of Honour for her bravery as a nurse in World War Two, and Jan has is presenting this play that she's written about her father in World War II, which I'll let her explain.
Yes, well, I'll come to Jan in a moment, but tell me a bit more about Phyllis Garvin, Kate.
Yeah, well, she was a nurse who decided in 1944, when there was a big call-up for people to help the army. I didn't know much about World War II history until I started researching for this play, and Phyllis decided that she's from the north of Ireland, from a Protestant family in the north of Ireland. She decided to use her training for good, and so she joined up with the Queen Alexandra Imperial Military Nursing Service, and her first gig was being sent to Normandy with the first hospital that arrived in Normandy after D-Day. So they got sent to the front line and were nursing on their hands and knees with bombs overhead and no electricity, in fact, no hospital beds. And they were a fresh water and a barrel by the duty room door. You know, it was quite a thing. And we grew up on these stories. She was a great raconteur, being Irish. And there were so many stories about the war. She, at the end of the war, you know, they'd followed the front line through Germany, and at the end of the war, she got tapped on the shoulder and said, "You're going to go and help the Red Cross evacuate a prison camp." which turned out to be Belsen, which was a shocking concentration camp. Well, they were all shocking, I guess. And that was an experience that haunted her for the rest of her life. And that was not something she spoke to us about when we were kids. It was only when I was much older that she was much older. So she revealed some of those stories. But she was often interviewed by radio and newspapers and so on, I think partly because most ANZAC interviewees were male, and she made a difference, and she was a great storyteller, as I said. So when she died, people said, oh, somebody should write a book about her. And I realised eventually that it had to be me and it had to be a play. So that's what it's about, really. It's also about her love story. She met my father, who was a wounded soldier, came into the hospital in Ghent. And the trouble was that he was a Catholic.
Oh, no.
He was a Protestant. And so that whole story about that and about her mother throwing her out of the house and so on is part of this, you know, so it's not all war and tragedy. A lot of it's got a lot of humour in it, because my mother had a great sense of humour, but also it has a love story woven through it.
Did your mother and grandmother reconcile over your father?
They did write letters to each other eventually, but reconcile, I don't know. We emigrated to New Zealand partly because it was too hard for them over there, and they wrote to each other, but my grandmother never mentioned my father's name till the day he died, so I don't know how much forgiveness there was.
Jan, your father also in the war?
Yes.
But a little bit further south and to the west, no, actually east in Italy, is where you've set your story, right?
Yes, although the story actually begins in the Libyan desert, because when Dad was overseas, the battles he fought were in the Libyan desert, and there was one disastrous campaign at Bel Hamid where his battalion, he was in the 20th battalion because he was a South Islander, and the battalion was practically wiped out. And he ended up in a prisoner of war camp in the north of Italy, where he was in that camp for 2 years. And then when the armistice was declared on the 8th of September in 43...
This is when Italy surrendered.
That's correct.
To the Allies.
Italy surrendered. Yeah, that's correct. So, you know, there were all these thousands of men in these POW camps. And so what happened was that they were sent through a place called Treviso, and they were put on trains, or on cattle carts, really, and they were to be sent through to Germany to prisoner of war camps there. But what happened was my father and some of his mates decided to jump off the train. So he did jump, and fortunately he was lucky, he wasn't hurt, and he got up to a mountain village called Cherna, and the people there, the family, the Zantedeschi family, looked after him. And then another of his mates, who jumped as well, miraculously came to the same village. But they knew it was too dangerous to stay there, because the locals would have been lined up and shot if the Germans found them harbouring these prisoners. So they decided to go, and they headed towards the Swiss border, but they got arrested there at the border. They got flung into another train through to Germany. Dad jumped again, and this time he got away, but... he decided that he couldn't go to the border. He tried to make his way back to Cherna, to the people who had looked after him. He eventually got there after many adventures. But by this stage, of course, the Germans are all over the place in northern Italy, and the Zantedeschi family decided it was too dangerous to have him staying in the village. So they took him away up the mountain, and he lived in a cave up there for 2 years, looked after by this family.
A cave, so that was Jan. War. Did you ever go and get to see this cave that your father lit?
I did. Yes, I did. Because what happened when I was 20-something and on my first OE, Dad just casually said to me one day, oh, well, look, you might try and find that. He'd lost contact with the family, and he said, you might find them. And he didn't have a proper address or anything. So with a lot of adventures, I did find the family. And so I was with the Zandardeschi family, and indeed I saw the cave, which was basically just a hole in the ground. But the good part of the story, Brian, is that a year after I went back and found the family, Dad was back in Italy. And he and my mother had a few marvellous months with the Zandardeschi family. And Dad was right back into speaking fluent Italian again. I mean, once he was back in the village with all the people, it was like, you know, he was just back to what it was in the 1940s, which is quite amazing, really.
Kate was saying that her mum talked a lot, apart from Balsan, didn't talk so much about that, but talked about her work as a nurse in France during the Second World War. Did your dad talk a lot about his experiences? He didn't.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, I mean, I say in the play that, you know, these Second World War survivors, they had a conspiracy of silence about the war. They didn't talk about it. But why I know so much about Dad's story is that he was a great supporter of the RSA, and that's where these men talked, you know. They'd get to the RSA, a few beers into them, and off they go. And one night, his mates decided to set him up. They got him a few beers into him. They put a tape recorder under his chair, and they got him talking. And that material got published in a POW magazine. So that's how I actually found out about what happened to Dad in the war. Of course, we only ever heard sort of the funny stories. People said, how did you find out? And I said, well, it was just sheer chance, really, that these mates of his decided to tape his story. And that's how
what
I was
did they,
able
what
to
What did they use to tape in one of those old portable tape recorder things?
Yeah, one of the old cassette tape recorders.
Have you got that cassette? Have you got the original?
No, I don't know what happened to that, because it was it must have been transcribed by the, you know, the POW association or journal or whatever. They must have got hold of that tape, and I would dearly love to know where the original one is, if indeed it's still around. And that's how they transcribed it, and then it got published in this magazine.
If somebody has the tape of, it's Jeffrey, isn't it? Bolwell?
Jeffrey Bolwell.
POW, Italy, yeah. RSA recorded. Mm. When was this recording made, this clandestine recording?
Oh, it would have been probably, let me think, the 70s, maybe?
Circa 1970-something. Speaking of circa. Yeah. You're listening to Nights on RNZ National, and I'm speaking to a couple of performers who got shows opening at the Circa in Wellington. Both are Second World War stories, and of course it's Anzac weekend this weekend. Jan Bolwell, you're just hearing from her, talking about her one-person play, the story of her father, Geoffrey, and his exploits as a POW, and then as an escapee, mostly in northern Italy, and Kate Jason-Smith. Now, Jan's, by the way, her story, her play is called Milord Goffredo, and Kate Jason-Smith, her one-person play, which is based on the experiences of her mum as a nurse in France in the Second World War, Phyllis Garvin, is called I'll Tell You This for Nothing. And Kate, I wanted to ask you, do you think that experience that your mum had of going to Balsan, that horrific concentration camp, as you say they all were, changed her?
Oh, it haunted her for the rest of her life. There's no doubt about it. And something that's really interesting, and I've spoken to my brother and sisters and other relations about this, it seems to have haunted the next generation as well and the generation below that. It's even though we didn't know the details of it, it's like I've heard about this, that traumas can go down through the generations. But I tell you, even my nieces, you say the word Balsan to them and a shiver will go through them. It certainly affected her. And I think anyone who had the misfortune of having family in concentration camps will know this. You know, it doesn't just end with them. It just keeps on going. And I, one of the things that's been happening while I've been rehearsing this play again, which wasn't happening all the other times I've performed it, is that now we have the war in Ukraine, and I'm terribly terribly cognizant of what people are going through there now, what they're going through. And in, you know, in my play, I play 23 different characters, and some of them have been very badly treated by the Nazis. Some of them are being bombed. Some of them, you know, and for me, the Ukraine is so alive at the moment, and I'm just so aware of the horror that's happening there. But also, at the same time, it's really interesting, and Dan will agree with this, that somehow in those circumstances, people find a joy in life. And World War II veterans would often speak about this, the joy, and not just the veterans, the civilians, for example, who are in London during the Blitz and so on, the joy of being alive and how you just grasp to life with both hands. And that it also fascinates me, how that was so much part of my parents' life.
Because I wonder whether those experiences were one of the reasons that your mother, a Protestant, and your father, a Catholic, fell in love and were determined to keep that relationship going. Because in a way, that whole Protestant-Catholic thing is the same sort of nonsense that was behind Hitler's racial purity regime, wasn't it? The same kind of stupid thinking.
Exactly right. And, you know, my mother, there's something that she often said, often I heard her say, and I'll use her voice now, one of the most evil things you can do in the world is to discriminate against anyone based on their race or religion. That was one of her mantras. And that happened after Belsen. And it was after Belsen that she agreed to marry my father and said, I can't not marry you because of your religion, because now I have this very strong belief that it's the wrong thing, wrong way to behave. So, yes, you've absolutely hit the nail on the head, Brian.
And also, after going through that, a desire to make a better world, which I don't know if we can quite imagine how strong that might have been for the survivors of that war.
Yes. Yes, I think having seen the evil of the Belsen, the evil that my mother described it, that one of the things that was always very important to her, that she felt that she was a witness, that she saw that, and she would get very, very angry when people would deny that the Holocaust happened. A lot of the people who were in the camps had got to such a state that they didn't really know what was going on, that they were, what my mother would say, dehumanized. They had been starved and beaten and forced to such a point that they were often unaware of what was happening. And so Phyllis felt that she, being a strong, alert, healthy person, could come in there and bear witness in a way that other people couldn't. And that was always very important to her. Yeah, that's all.
Jan, how did your father embrace life once he returned to New Zealand?
It's a very interesting thing, this. I think Dad and the men that returned with him, what they hungered for was a normal life. They wanted a quiet, peaceful life. They wanted to have children. They wanted normalcy again in their lives. And that, I think, I talked to Mum when she was alive about this yearning for just a normal, loving family life, which they've been deprived of for so long. But like Kate, you know, the remnants of war, they don't just end when a war ends. A lot of these men were very psychologically damaged when they came back. I mean, my father, even though I think he coped pretty well after the war, but my mother told me that he was still having nightmares about the war when he was in his 70s. Mum said he would wake up in the middle of the night shouting, sweating, and Mum would try and get him to talk about it, but he just wouldn't. He never told her anything about those nightmares. So, you know, it was part of their lives. But also, when I first did this play about 20 years ago, I travelled it around New Zealand, and one of the things that interested me was my contemporaries came to watch the play, And a lot of them were terribly upset afterwards and would talk to me. And they would tell me about what difficult childhoods they had with their fathers. The men would say, oh, look, I never got on with them. We had a difficult relationship. And I think my play for some of them might have been quite cathartic, because they could see then reflected in my father what their fathers had been. And it got them thinking and talking about it. So, you know, war doesn't end, as Kate said, just with that generation. It goes on into subsequent generations as well. I think it's very true.
Did your father see your play, Jan?
No, he died by then, but my mother did. And, of course, I mean, I tell quite a few home truths, and I thought, oh, my goodness, how is she going to take this? Because, you know, there's quite a lot of humour, and I play up some interesting domestic scenes where, you know, Dad and his mates are drunk and my mother gets furious, and then I thought, how is she going to take this? But my mother loved it. She just loved it. So it was very satisfying that she actually got to see it.
And what about you, Kate? Did your mum get to see your play?
No, I didn't start writing it until after she died, but I come from a very large family. And as I've travelled over the world, a lot of the family have come. In fact, there's possibly even some relations listening to this now. Please come again if you haven't been already, which is just wonderful, absolutely wonderful. When I was in Edinburgh a couple of years ago, some of the family flew over from Ireland and came up from Scotland, and people I didn't even know I was related to would turn up and go, oh, hello, I'm a cousin of yours. I go, oh, that's very nice. And, you know, it's the same thing. Because I play out some scenes with my grandmother, and I never met my grandmother, of course, but I'd heard a lot about her, so I had to make this character up. And I was slightly concerned about what people might think about that. Though, of course, you know, it's a play, it's not real life. And bless my mother, she was very fond of saying, oh, never let the truth get in the way of a good story. So I knew I had her blessing. But the cousins who knew my grandmother who came to see it said, oh, you just got her to a tea. You know, absolutely. So I was very pleased about that.
Kate and Jan, it's been lovely talking with you both. I hope the season goes really well. And thanks for your time this evening.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
Jan Bowell and Kate Jason Smith. Their one-person plays on the wartime experiences of respectively Jan's mother. Her play is called Milord Goffredo, and Kate's mother, hers is called I'll Tell You This For Free, open tomorrow, Friday 22nd April, at Wellington's Circa Theatre. The season runs until midway. Mid-May, actually. Midway's in Ireland. They had a battle there too, I think.